Ian Schur is an editor at CNET and joins us again on WGN. Hi, Ian. How are you today?
I'm doing all right. How are you?
Good. Thanks for taking our call. So I was just on the business lunch yesterday talking with our Amy Guth about this new Apple software and some of the things that it will do. It's pretty amazing what they can put into that little phone in our pocket, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. I mean, one of the things that Apple has constantly been doing over the last, gosh, since 2007, is trying to make the phones not only do more, but also easier to use, right? And so a lot of what they're doing this year in the fall, when they release this software update that's going to be free, is that they're going to be adding a few new features, like making it so you can have FaceTime calls with people who are using Android or Windows, which is a big change in and of itself, or adding more privacy features, while also trying to make it easier to use.
Give me an example or two. You've just hit on a couple of them, but what are some of the features that you are seeing in this new build that are exciting to you?
Yeah, I think probably what stands out most to me is the notifications. So, you know, one thing, the average person apparently gets about 46 notifications a day. I think that that's a ridiculously low number. I get like 10 times that much, although I am crazy. So what they are doing is that they're trying to help us tame all of that. And the way they're going to do that is by making the notifications a little larger, so easier to read. I'm a fan. But also they're going to be making it so that we can actually, the computer inside of our phones is going to recommend notifications that, you know, some apps, for example, during certain times of the day, maybe we don't want to hear from them. For example, if we're consistently doing a workout at 5 a.m. every morning, it's going to recommend, hey, you know, maybe you don't want to get a phone call during that time. Or if you have during the work hours, it might start recommending, hey, maybe you don't want to hear from Facebook during this time of the day, right? You know, you can read your BuzzFeed lists at the end of the day instead.
Right.
And so that's kind of an interesting approach. And then finally, what they're going to do is take a lot of those notifications that we don't find as urgent, right? And they're going to try and kind of collect them together and show them to you at the end of the day or at times when you think will be less stressful, which, again, is kind of, you know, it's trying to make it, it doesn't change the phone dramatically, but it makes it a lot easier to use.
Does that mean I might also miss something that it judged I don't want to see right now, and maybe I do? I wonder if I want to see that much control.
Well, and that is an option, right? That's part of why Apple's not just turning it on. It's all part of a feature that you can choose to turn on called Focus. Yeah, so I think that Apple realizes there are, you know, people like you and me who are just so tied to our phones that we live in anxiety of missing stuff. And that is in and of itself its own problem. But Apple can't fix that, unfortunately. So they're doing this, I think, more for the people who are on the lower end of the notification spectrum, right? Back to that 46 notification average versus, you know, me who gets 10 times that much.
Well, it was you, I think, Ian, who told me how to make my phone so that if it's a phone call or a text I get from someone who is not in my contacts list, then it doesn't ring or vibrate, right? There's a way to sort of minimize the amount of interruptions you're getting. The problem is I have been getting calls from people I did need to hear from, but it's a contractor who's not on my contact list. And now we called.
And that's part of the challenge.
And so I'm actually going to turn that feature off now because it's more of a hassle than it is a help.
And that's, I mean, look, the reality is that a lot of this stuff, these technologies are trying to learn about us and make educated guesses, right? And they're not always right. And I think what's interesting is, you know, for example, one of the things Apple's doing as well is they're taking our photos, and, you know, a lot of us are shutterbugs, or we take way more photos than we ever look at, and they're trying to organize them together into what they call memories, where they'll have music, and it'll have kind of a, you know, a nice fade effect between the photos, and it'll choose the best ones for it, and even decide on the photos that are most appropriate for different types of music. So if it's like celebratory music, then it'll show you smiling more, I guess, or whatever. But the thing is that I've learned these memories are not always perfect. For example, on Facebook, every year around a certain time of the year, I get a notification reminding me that one of my most popular photos is, you know, was posted around that time, and maybe I want to post it again. Unfortunately, it's a photo of me and my mother when she passed away. And so I've got to deal with Facebook every year because the computer's trying to learn about me and it's trying to make an educated guess. It's like, oh, popular photo back in February. Maybe you want to show it again.
Well, is there a way to change that? You, of all people, should know how to turn that off.
No? Unfortunately, one of the things the tech industry does is that even though there are certain ways, I mean, I could hide the photo, I could delete it, but these educated guesses these computers make, unfortunately, we've gotten to this point now where at least it's popular in the tech industry for them to constantly tap us on the shoulder like, hey, is this the right idea? Is this a good idea? And so I can't actually turn that off other than deleting the photo or hiding it.
One last thing, Ian. We were just talking the other day about how your devices are or aren't listening, and somebody reminded us, I think it was something you told us also, that your smart speaker records everything you say, and you can go into the app and actually hear yourself say, what's the temperature outside, or what time's the game on, whatever it is, Rochelle, but there is a recording of everything we've said to our smart speaker. That exists, right?
Yeah, the recordings are saved for a certain amount of time. You can actually tell it how long you want. And each one of them, whether it be Amazon or Google or Apple or Microsoft, they all have a setting inside of their respective devices, which we explain on CNET if you want, because, you know, they're all different devices, for you to decide how long you want to keep it. So typically it's like 18 months or 12 months or whatever. And the reason they record this stuff in the first place and keep it, you might be thinking, what the heck, is that a lot of times they want to go back themselves if it got it wrong. And the way they know they got it wrong is if you ask it the same thing multiple times, is that they want to teach their computers to be smarter, right? So they actually go in and they say, oh, this is why you got it wrong, and try to fix it.
Well, that's
a lot of why this stuff is recorded and kept.
Ian Schur from CNET, frequently heard on our Wintrust Business Lunch. Nice to talk to you this morning, Ian. Thanks for helping us out today.
Absolutely. Take care.
He's a fun guy.